This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 15th, 2016. The second Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Behold the Lamb of God. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God. The words of St. John the Baptist, as he introduces our Lord Jesus Christ to the people of Israel who are gathered around him. Behold the Lamb of God. We hear those words every single time we come to Mass, no matter what day of the week, no matter what time of the liturgical year, we hear those words at Mass. When the celebrant turns and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sin of the world." Just like St. John the Baptist is introducing our Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews, our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar is reintroduced to us every time we come, because we should always understand that as we get closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, our understanding of him is going to deepen. Our understanding of him is going to change. That's why the liturgy is what it is. It's not a bunch of churchy stuff that was put together by a group of guys somewhere back in history. There is an understanding behind everything that it speaks of Jesus Christ. Everything that goes on in the Holy Mass is representative of, it speaks of, and in some cases in the Eucharist, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is worn, everything that is done, from incense to where you stand, has to do with Jesus Christ. So we have to know him. It is important to know Jesus Christ. Not know him in something we come up with in our own minds. We have to know him as he presents himself. Because if you make up something in your own mind, that's not truly Jesus Christ. That's an idol. Okay, that's some whatever you've made up in your own mind. Jesus Christ has presented himself through the scriptures, through the Holy Spirit. And when St. John Baptist introduces our Lord Jesus Christ, he covers all the bases on what we're supposed to understand about him. He is introducing him in the way he wants us known. And it is important to Jesus Christ to know him as he wants to be known. He explicitly shows us that in the gospel, where he asks his apostles, "Who do men say that I am?" This, that, the other thing. "But who do you say that I am?" It is very important to Jesus Christ that you individually know who he is. It's not something you got to figure out on your own. The Holy Spirit has told us who Jesus Christ is. In this introduction to John the Baptist covers all the bases for us. And it's relatively simple. First thing John Baptist says is, "Behold the Lamb of God." What does that mean to a person, to whom he is speaking? The Jewish people. What does he talk about? Lamb of God. Lamb. What? That's really nice now, a little fuzzy lamb. Okay. No. It's the opposite, as a matter of fact. The Jewish mindset is, when we talk about lambs, we're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about the first time it happened, when they were still slaves in Egypt. When they were still slaves in Egypt, God, speaking through Moses, tells the angel of death is coming upon the people of Egypt. And he is going to smite, kill the firstborn in every single house. Every single house. None will escape the angel of death. You need to kill a lamb. And you need to place its blood on your doorposts and on the lintel, which is the crossbeam over the top. You need to surround your door with the shed blood of this lamb so that the angel of death does not come to your house. That's the Jewish mindset. And this is a people who have, since that time, been killing little lambs at the temple. Lambs, turtle dove, ox, goats, name it, they're killing it to atone for their sins. All those killings were to point forward to something, to point forward to someone, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when our Lord Jesus Christ approaches St. John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, behold him that takes away the sins of the world. That's Jesus Christ, the one who came to redeem us by his shed blood, because we are sinners and we cannot earn our way into heaven. By his grace, he has offered us his blood, that we, in faith and obedience, we embrace that offer. But we need his blood, just like the Old Testament Jews needed it on their doorpost. We need the shed blood of Christ on ourselves, the tabernacle of our very beings. That's where we need the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one that takes away. This is a little footnote for this, a little Bible trivia. If you open the little missalette thing, when we do the Behold the Lamb of God, it says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, plural. Some Bible versions have sins of the world, but in the original languages, it was the sin of the world, singular. Well, why is that? Because it's one of the few times when we look at singular and plural, and singular is actually more meaningful than plural. Because he takes away the sins of the world, well, which ones? That's like a net that's thrown out. Which ones? But if you say sin, singularly, that's all of them. It doesn't matter what you might name. Every single kind of sin, no matter how bad or how small. It doesn't matter how many times. It doesn't matter for how long. The sin of the world. Name it. Name it. He covers it. That's why it's more appropriate, the sin of the world, not sins, because it's much more specific. But this is the Jesus Christ who came into the world to save us from our sins. He came into the world specifically to make atonement for our sins. Newsflash. He is not the social justice warrior that so many people like to present in our day and age. No, that's not, here we go. That's not because I say so. It's because St. John Baptist says so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him that taketh away the sins of the world is going to unite himself with poor people. He doesn't say that. He does not say that. Jesus' express mission in this world was to shed his blood for our sins, to make atonement for what we cannot. He makes atonement for our sins. Even when St. John the Baptist is in prison, he says, send to him and ask him if he is truly the one. And one of the things that Jesus says, among other things, is the gospel has been presented to the poor. Notice he doesn't say, I came to unite myself with the poor. He says the gospel is for the poor, has been proclaimed to the poor. He's meaning that this idea of him as the Redeemer is not just for Jews. It's just for people who know the law. It's not for just the Pharisees and the Sadducees and whatever ease. It is for everyone, including the poor. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic standpoint. The shed blood is wrong, but it's about his shed blood, not about him uniting himself with the poor. That is why St. John Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. There's a reason for everything. And you can step back, and if St. John the Baptist just ended it there and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, then a naysayer could say, well, how come he can atone for our sins? I mean, you know, historically, there's a whole lot of people who have died for very just causes, who have given their lives up for other people. How come Jesus Christ is any better than them? I'll tell you why Jesus Christ is better than them, because the Holy Spirit, speaking through St. John, says, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He ranks before me. He is greater than me, for he was before me. Kind of look at that a little bit. He ranks before me. He is greater than I am. You've got to understand the way St. John the Baptist was looked upon by these people who are coming to him. They actually asked him explicitly, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ, John?" He was that pious. He was that holy. He was that religiously popular that they thought he just might be the Messiah. And he says, the one that's coming, he ranks before me. He is the one whose sandals I'm not worthy to loose. He's the one whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. To carry somebody's sandals was a slave's position back in those days. St. John the Baptist, whom they thought might be the Messiah, this guy just might be the Messiah. He goes, I don't rate to be, you think that much of me? I don't rate to be a slave of the one who's going to come. That's him. The Lamb of God, who is greater than I am. He's greater than I am because he came before me. Little chronology thing there. We just got out of Christmas. At the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Gabriel the Archangel, he looks at you and you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, call him his name Jesus. Nothing is impossible with God. As a matter of fact, your cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, who is old, she is in her sixth month. Who is she pregnant with? John the Baptist. John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus Christ. Where is John going with this? He was before me, because he has been since all eternity. If you get myopic on Christmas, it's like, oh, that's when Jesus was born, like he never existed before that. Jesus Christ had been the eternal Son of God. He was generated in eternity, but he was born in time. There was a time when he wasn't the God-man, but he was always God, and henceforth he is always the God-man. But St. John is telling us that this one is greater than me. He was before me. He is from all eternity. You know how that was proven to me, Jews? John goes on, because I saw the Holy Spirit descend and rest on him. So not only is this the salvation of our souls in his shed blood, not only is he eternal God, but he is empowered to, because of his very nature, to confer the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. When Jesus Christ was baptized, he did not receive the Holy Spirit like we do. When we're baptized and the Holy Spirit is infused into us, the reason the Holy Spirit is infused into us is because Jesus Christ has the authority to do it. Because Jesus Christ did not receive the Holy Spirit eternally rested on our Lord. That's why we got to pay attention to the words of Scripture. It doesn't say in the baptismal narratives that Jesus received the Holy Spirit. It said the Holy Spirit descended and rested on him to prove to us that the Holy Spirit has eternally rested on him. And now, as a consequence of understanding that, now we know how we can receive the Holy Spirit in our baptism. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has promised that. And he has the authority to do that because he is the one who, as it says in Scripture, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is the reason that we venerate our Lord Jesus Christ so much as God. He is not just the prophet of Islam. He is not just a good teacher or a rabbi. He's not just a miracle worker. He is the eternal Son of God and needs to be treated like that. Because, as I said, just the way John the Baptist introduced him, we hear that introduction at every single Mass before we receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him and rested on him to prove to us that this is truly God. And what he says is gospel. It's even more than gospel because they are his words, God's words. St. John says, I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. We always have to approach our Lord Jesus Christ in the way he wants to be approached. And that is as God, as our Savior who shed his blood for us. Not, again, some social justice warrior. Okay? Something much more deep and much more profound and much more necessary for your eternal soul. We think we know Jesus Christ. I go to Mass every Sunday. I go to Mass every Sunday, and then a couple days during the week, I might go to daily Mass. I read my scriptures. All that stuff is phenomenal. You ought to be doing those things. Some of those are just bare minimums. But why you do that is because you want to get closer to him. Because it doesn't matter how well you think you know Jesus Christ, you should always be growing in your faith. Always be growing in your faith. Well, I know Jesus. Really? You think you know him? John the Baptist, two times in that gospel, twice, says explicitly, I myself did not know him. He was his cousin. So is he saying, I had no knowledge of this person who is Jesus? No, he's not saying that at all. And this is the one who knows, who has talked to God. God spoke to him and said, for instance, the one you see the Holy Spirit rest upon, that's the Messiah. God speaks to John the Baptist. John the Baptist knows that there's a Messiah coming. He knows his cousin is special, but he says twice, I myself did not know him. What is he saying? I really didn't get it. I really didn't get it until everything came together, until I saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. There was always a question in my mind. He might be it, but until I saw that, I didn't know. Now I do. That's where we all should put ourselves. As we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people that are in this church right at this moment. We've got former Mormons. We've got former Lutherans, former Presbyterians, former non-denominational folks, former Anglicans, of course. All these former people who, as they grew closer to our Lord Jesus Christ, knew the necessity of becoming Catholics. They knew the necessity of becoming Catholics because they had a John the Baptist moment. When they were confronted with some, said, I've read about Jesus and I've talked about Jesus and I've gone to church all my life. I myself did not know him. That's how Jesus works. That's how the Holy Spirit works. He draws us closer to him. He deepens our understanding of him. I started this whole thing out talking about how we introduce the Lord the same exact way as St. John Baptist did by saying, Behold the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sin of the world. We present him like that in the Eucharist right before the reception of our Lord. It dumbfounds me sometimes how people don't think that the Holy Spirit can do anything. I said before about Archangel Gabriel says, with God, nothing is impossible. Everybody that bears the title Christian, they have no problem whatsoever with thinking and understanding and believing with all their hearts that the Holy Spirit hovered over a virgin and she became pregnant and gave birth to the Son of God. To the world, that's foolishness. To people who don't know Christ, that's ridiculous. There's nothing that happens like that. That's supernatural trash. But we, as all Christians, believe that indeed the Holy Spirit hovered over the Blessed Virgin Mary and God became man through her. We don't have any problem with that. But there are so many people who bear the title Christian who deny what the church has always taught about the Eucharist, that the Holy Spirit hovers over the altar every time the Mass is celebrated and changes bread and wine into the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. How come he could do one thing, he can't do another? How come, of course, he made God born of a virgin? How come he could do that, but he can't change bread and wine into God? If he could do one thing, he could do another, because with God, nothing is impossible. That is what our church has always believed and taught about the Eucharist. Hence, when the celebrant turns around and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sin of the world." When you hear that, it's the same introduction, and you are casting your eyes upon the same Jesus Christ that those Jews did when he was walking toward John the Baptist, just under a different form. God took the form of flesh and became Jesus Christ, and he was introduced by John the Baptist. Every time we come together for Mass, Jesus Christ puts himself under the forms of bread and wine. So it is the same exact Jesus Christ, no difference whatsoever, to whom you are introduced at the Mass that John the Baptist introduced to the Jews. No difference whatsoever. When we approach it like that, when we understand that, we have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that with him nothing is impossible. And it always makes us, and every time you hear that, I pray God from henceforth, when you hear that in the Mass, to do a little soul searching. Do I really believe that? I want to get closer to him. You know, and there ought to be times when it hits you and go, I myself didn't know him. It should happen to each. It happens to me. I've read this cover to cover a whole lot of times. I've been to school for it. I got all kinds of degrees and all kinds of neat stuff like that. There's not a week that goes by I don't read something or see something that happens as a work of the Holy Spirit and go, man, I didn't know. You know, I read, I understand in my head, but I didn't know that he could do things like that. That should be exciting for us. And that is our faith. We just have to engage and always be introduced to the true Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.